Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Family Jewels. I'm Olga Koch.
And I'm Charlie Dinkin.
And we are delighted to welcome today's guest. It's the one and only Urooj Ashfaq!
You look beautiful in those pearls.
Thank you so much.
And you've worn them in such a creative way.
I'm trying to wear it like a headband.
Yeah, it looks very Mother Mary,
Biblical.
Very nice. Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. You know who you look like?
Tell me.
Kareena Kapoor from K3G, like poo.
Oh my God, took the words right out of my mouth.
Someone who you definitely know who they are.
Okay, but the funny thing is, I know the actress because I saw the song You Are My Sonia that she did with this guy called Ruthik, which is like, he's like the Tom Cruise of India.
Yeah, he is.
He's amazing.
So Olga's just been in India.
I'm a 31-year-old white woman. Of course I've been in India.
She wants to subtly drop it in.
I was in India.
For our audio readers, I just want to describe your outfit. You are wearing a leopard print pajama set with a fake silk with a fake ostrich pink trim, feathered trim, and a leopard print headband as well. You look fantastic.
To match.
It looks lovely.
Class.
So you've just been in India, but you didn't see each other in India.
No, I was here in London.
Yeah, we did a Princess Switch.
Yeah, we did the Princess.
Because she's doing the UK tour, and I was doing two cities in India.
So you took over each other's lives.
Yes.
Seamlessly.
Seamlessly. You know, she knows about Ritik and Kareena now. That's basically all the knowledge I have.
Bollywood is incredible. Are you a big Bollywood head?
Yes, I love Bollywood. I'm pretty obsessed. I watch all the movies, most of the movies. But I would say that... I exercise a healthy distance from it also.
Okay.
I don't let it become, because you can really get into Bollywood.
Like, and that could be your whole personality.
Yes.
That you really care about.
And it would be exhausting because you'd have to watch everything.
And like all you do is quote movies. Like we'd be having a conversation. I'd just be dropping a quote.
That
a
is
song,
cool.
A quote. And then, well, not if you have to speak to them every day.
Okay.
And so I'm trying
Because then you wouldn't have to have a personality.
Yeah,
you'd just
be doing... Yeah, I think you accurately put it when you said like...
Do you think of Bollywood as like, for you personally, as a consumer of Bollywood, as like separate from other types of film? Or are you like, it's film? Film is film?
Oh yeah, no, film is film. I think of it as like film is film. Actually, within Bollywood, there are different directors for whom I'm like, you are peak Bollywood.
Yeah.
And everybody else I think of as film. But that's like, they don't... Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of the movies that make it... into like the masses or become really popular, like say like Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum and stuff, they're really big Bollywood budget films, but there's also like there's really good filmmakers and really nice films, and they're all part of the same thing. So yeah,
interesting.
It's the way that like Hollywood has the same, right? They'll have blockbusters and they'll have indie films, and it's all technically Hollywood.
But what I'm leaning into is like, what are film snobs in India like? You know what I mean? Who are the like high film snobs?
Bros.
The bros, like. Here we got the film bros, the Scorsese heads. You know what I mean?
Tarantino.
It's like they're going to explain the plot of something to you personally at all times, even if you've seen it first.
Correct. We have the film bros in India. They are watching movies by, I would say, a lot of them are really into Anurag Kashyap. Then a lot of them are also into, I guess, Chaitanya also. Chaitanya Tamane is a director they're into. I'm trying to think of the other names. Like, because since I'm not a film bro and my taste is not so good, I don't really know the names.
And you're not letting anyone explain them to you.
There is a man in India listening to this podcast just itching to be like, I want to explain it.
Yeah, you're going to get some emails. It's happening.
You know what it is? I've seen the movies and I don't remember the director's names. And now people are going to watch this or listen to this and they're going to be like, why didn't you say X person's
name? Do you want us to edit this out?
You cannot even drop a hint that you want to learn anything about film.
Yeah.
It's something every woman must learn.
A girl that mentions the idea of films, it's a sentence.
Don't email anyone about film if you've listened to this podcast. We'll watch our films in our own time.
Yes, but it's nice to know that across countries, boys trying to show women movies is it's a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Someone else did the work and created this piece of art that's 2 hours long. And because I've played it to you, I am now entitled to have sex with you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that is how that works.
A tale as old as time.
And look how amazing I am because I know about it. That's my whole personality.
And I understand it in a way that you, a person who's merely seen it and read about it, could never know.
And look at this, a poster of the same movie.
You want to be in Bollywood films. Your new personality.
I want to be the non-speaking white extra in a Bollywood film. That's what I'm manifesting for myself in 2024.
Do you remember that there was a reality show that happened here? Have you ever heard of, no one will have heard of this. Do you remember this? It seems like I kind of think Andrew might have watched as a child. There was a reality show where people were getting a chance to be in a Bollywood movie.
White people in the UK.
Yes.
Are they Bollywood fans in the show?
Yes. Yes. And then they go and they're like doing little bits. Oh. And it's all about like who could be in a Bollywood movie.
You have plenty of jobs there if you want.
No one is stealing your job as white woman 3 in background.
Non-speaking. I'm not learning lines.
Non-speaking white woman.
Or like you could be very important to a plot where a lot of like white people come in, offer a piece of advice that changes the movie, and then they leave.
The sage.
You could be a sage. Maybe you should write a movie and you should be like a wise sage in the movie.
I could be your fairy godmother in the film. Would you like that?
Yes, okay. I would love it.
Okay, cool.
Are we making a Bollywood movie now?
Yeah.
Sure, great.
You and I are the romantic leads.
Yeah.
And you're the fairy godmother.
It sounds good.
It's happening.
Right, so you are here. You are not in India at the moment. You are in London and you've come to do a tour. You're touring your show.
Yes, I'm touring my show. It's called Oh No. I'm going to, I don't know, I sound like a parrot because I've said this so many
times. It's an incredible show. It's an amazing show.
I haven't
seen
it
yet,
but I'm
so
excited to. I can't believe I haven't.
It's fine. I can.
Thanks.
There's extra dates added.
Don't bother. Don't even. No,
it's an incredible
I will.
Show.
I must. I have not been watching a lot of comedy, I'll be honest. I got like comedy watching fatigue, but I think I'm back. I think I'm trucking back towards watching
more comedy.
It's
probably good for your mental health to take
a break. Yeah. I really needed to avoid my job and interest for as long as possible to become sane again. But
I respect that. That's really bold.
Yeah.
Like, I make this thing, but I won't consume it.
I refuse to watch it. I've seen it all.
Yeah. I get the vibe.
No.
You make jokes. Cool. All right. Anyways.
Blah, blah, blah.
That was joke. No, it's an incredible show. It's an incredible show. I'll say it again.
When you are not in London, where do you live?
I stay in Mumbai when I'm not in London. And I grew up in the suburbs of Mumbai. So it's called New Mumbai, Navi Mumbai, New Bombay. And now I stay in Mumbai. I stay in the heart of Mumbai, in Bandra.
Incredible neighborhood.
In an incredible neighborhood.
Exciting.
It's very like bougie, hipster, and like, you know, it's very like you've
Portuguese
been there.
Heritage. I just did a walking tour with Kaki Tours. Can't recommend them enough.
Kaki Tours is great.
So good. I took 3 separate tours.
Wow. You really walked?
I fucking love to walk. All around. I love to learn. I love to see a fort. I love to see a fort. So is it also true, am I misremembering this, but you also spent some time in Dubai?
Yes, I was in Dubai till I was 12 years old. Then I moved to Mumbai with my mom and my sister. So I was born in Dubai. My grandparents, my mom's parents still live there. Growing up in Dubai was interesting. I prefer India a lot more when I moved.
Was it already like as developed or nearly as developed as it was now? Or
it was really developed. But it was so strange because like there was no culture of going down to play in the evening in Dubai. Uh-huh. Like you're trapped in your apartment buildings. And then when I moved to Mumbai, my mom just sort of just let me go wherever the hell I wanted. I would just ride my cycle, go off with my friends, you know, just...
And at 12, that's like a revelation.
It was incredible. And but I mean, it was nice to be in Dubai because there's a lot of... burgers there, I guess. A lot of junk food.
Yeah.
And a lot of ball pits, a lot of malls. But no, India had a much more, like, I would say, an organic upbringing, you know, like...
Were you excited to move? Do you remember moving back to India or to India, not back to India?
Oh, I was not excited to move. I was really upset.
You need your malls.
I was like, why are my parents doing this to me?
Oh, it's a really hard age. You're 12.
I was 12.
You're leaving all your friends behind.
Yeah. So I remember writing like diary entries about this and being really upset about it. And then we moved and I forgot about my friends.
Sorry, guys. Sucks
we'll
to suck.
We'll definitely keep in touch. You won't.
I'm actually meeting one of my friends from Dubai.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Today for dinner.
All right, well,
oh, that's huge. Good luck.
Yeah, I've known her since the first grade. Yeah,
that's very, very sweet. Yeah. So, is your mom's family from UAE or are they Indian and moved to UAE?
So overall, my mom and dad are from neighboring villages in Mumbai, in Maharashtra. So Maharashtra is the state, Mumbai is the city. Mm-hmm. So we're from Maharashtra. And I'm
so glad that someone else is explaining this for us.
I'm so tired of having to explain India to everybody.
I'm so sorry.
She's like, and the capital of India is Delhi, by the way. We should just be like two India experts. Finn, bro, you.
She would the second you go over here and all about it.
You can't even joke about that. It's so crazy.
She's an enthusiast.
Yeah, okay. So from two neighboring villages.
So, yeah. So our villages are in the mountains. And they're from like, other villages are like 20 minutes apart.
Aww.
And so a lot of people from my village moved to the Gulf to work. So my grandfather moved to UAE 48 years ago. UAE is 45 years old. Or it was 58 years ago, he moved and it's 55 years old.
Oh, it's like literally on the moment of...
Yep, like
he moved. New country just dropped.
Straight there.
Let's go.
3 years before it dropped, he was there. And he saw it become the United Arab Emirates.
What was it before? Can I ask that?
It was just like 7 Emirates.
Oh, okay. They weren't united yet.
They weren't united.
Okay, so the Emirates were there. They were just not... The U wasn't in the AE.
Uh-uh.
So he went for work?
He went for work. He went for work. He worked for a shipping company. And then he got some ships himself. He worked his way up. He got like 2 or 3 big ships.
Oh, damn.
And then he would do export business. And then he didn't see himself growing much. So then he had like a garment factory in UAE. And so, yeah, they still have factories there. In the UAE, my grandparents.
God. What kind of clothes do they make? What kind of garments?
They now make tissues, actually. They used to make garments. Now they make tissues. My grandparents are very rich. They would have real pearls.
All right. Fine.
We get it.
Slumming it here.
It's all right. I don't have access to that money. So.
But they like it there. They want to stay. That's their home.
Yeah.
That's where they feel.
Do they go back at all to the village?
Yes, they do. They have a house in the village. So they come to Mumbai. They stay with us for a day. They're off to the village. And then they come back, stay again for like a day or two, and then they're back to Dubai.
So did your mom grow up in the UAE?
Yes, she grew up in UAE. And my mom actually lived in London for like 3 or 4 years when she was growing up. Just like at Edgware Road for a bit.
Okay.
Do you know when?
I don't know when. I don't know the exact years.
What was she in school?
80s, I guess. In the 80s.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
cool.
That's a cool time. I mean, Edgware Road, didn't it have like a huge performance venue there where like the Stones performed and stuff?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Was she here by herself?
She was with... No, the whole family moved.
Oh, it was when she was, like, young.
She was little. She was in school. And my mom was telling me that... because we don't really have that in India. And so my mom was saying how, the watchman of the building or the security person, I'm not sure who, would send her off to do errands and then pay her for it. So, like, she'd go off to buy cigarettes for him.
Huh?
And then
I love how you're like, we don't really have this in India. We don't have this anywhere. That's not a thing.
A man
that
in your building who sends you off to buy him cigarettes.
I don't know if that's not.
A security person who was doing no security. The opposite of security.
What,
of anything.
Telling a kid to buy cigs?
Yeah, she'd go and buy cigarettes for him.
It was the 80s.
He'd pay her with cigarettes.
Yeah, my grandmother found out and she was really upset that she was buying cigarettes. And then,
why was she being sold? Who's selling cigarettes to a child? I got a lot
of questions.
It was
a different time.
It was a different time.
It was the 80s.
Does your mom have siblings? Did they also grow up there?
Yes, she has a younger brother.
And is he in India or?
He is in Dubai.
Okay.
And he stays there and he doesn't come to India as much actually. But I think he's really attached because he's grown up there. So he's...
Do you guys all speak Arabic as well?
No. Okay. No. But I can count to 10 in Arabic.
Let's see it. Let's hear it.
Are you guys ready?
Let's go.
Wahid, itnain, talata, arba, khamsa, sitta, saba, tamania, tissa, ashra.
Hell yeah!
Woo! I wouldn't know. You slightly look like you lost confidence in the middle. But if you'd have seen it through, I would have been impressed.
Not like, one person in this room can check.
Yeah, we'll never know. But sounds possible.
If you guys want me to do ABCDs, I can do that.
Yep,
also.
Let's go.
Let's crack
really?
On.
Okay.
You offered.
I thought you'd be
do
like,
your little trick.
Alif, ba, ta, sa, jim, ha, ha. That's it. That's all I know.
All right. Well, good till that. Good till that. Sounded right.
I got to K at Julian and stuff.
That's all you need.
Fair.
That's enough.
Yeah. My mom actually has just one sibling. My dad. My dad had, my parents had a wildly different upbringing. So my mom was like, she is the daughter of a man who has factories and she grew up in Dubai and she was in London for a bit. And my dad has 6 siblings. Grew up in the village for a bit. Then they moved to Mumbai and they lived in like a one-room kitchen with like 6 siblings and like parents.
Wow, really different.
Yeah, so he's really worked his way up to like where he is in his life right now. And he was staying in Dongri in Mumbai. You know Dongri.
Yeah. Darling.
You know, Muhammad Ali Road, where you get all the kebabs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I went for Ramadan Market there. Is it Muhammad Ali Road there? Yeah, okay.
Yes. Woo! South Bombay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's... No rickshaws allowed.
No rickshaws allowed.
Okay.
Do not show up with your rickshaw.
Come on, Charlie.
I won't. I'll remember. I promise. I'll never make that mistake again.
So did your parents meet in Mumbai or in Dubai?
My parents met in Mumbai through their parents because it was an arranged marriage. And it was arranged and they met.
Yeah.
And they married.
Did their parents know each other or was it arranged through a third party?
I think what happens is because there's like 5-6 villages and we're all Konkani. Mm-hmm. When it's marriage time, people are like, oh, she's ready. And
oh, then it's like who's around? Like,
Yeah. And so I think they had a bunch of potential suitors. And then finally, I think my grandfather really liked my dad because my dad was highly educated. And my dad really focused on studying because he had to get out of, you know, his life and make money. And all his siblings are really, really well educated. And they've done really well for themselves because they wanted to and had to. And so my grandfather really liked him. My mom. Actually, my mom loves to tell this story. She was like, I like this other guy who showed up. And he
Moms love this story. They always love this story.
Do you guys have that
Yeah, too? Of course I have that story.
Oh my God, did your mom also like another guy?
I hate to interrupt very, very quickly. Basically, the day, my mom was already pregnant by the time that my dad decided to ask her parents for permission to marry her. A bit late in my book, but okay. And she always tells the stories, like as they are going up the staircase to my grandmother's apartment, the neighbor from upstairs, who was a university professor, was coming down with a bottle of whiskey to propose on that same day during at that same moment. And he saw her with my dad and was like, I guess I'm too late. He
but
literally said the words, I guess I'm
point?
Too late. But also, it has to be a made-up story because even if he did want to marry her, what are the odds of it happening at the same exact moment? That couldn't have happened.
No, I think I'm with your mom. I think it happened. I love the story.
I guess
the
I'm too late.
The story is so dramatic.
And then
it?
He has the whiskey bottle and then he drinks it alone. Can you imagine?
He came down 2 days earlier and she was like, just wait till the other guy gets here. Just, as soon as you see him come out, then I'll definitely say yes.
Oh man, you could have been a professor.
Yeah, by blood.
That is how it works.
Not by education, but yes, by blood. Hereditary. Yeah. Okay, so wait, who's this other guy that she likes?
Yes, so this other guy, he shows up and he's wearing like gold chains and like he's wearing these blingy sunglasses and he's wearing like cool shoes and he's got like a swagger. And my mom was like, this is the one. And my grandfather was like, this guy is a dumb fuck. what is he doing wearing all this shit? He's not going to be able to take care of my daughter. And my dad, my grandfather just did not respect this man in all his stylishness. I think he frowns upon stylishness.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's classic grandfather.
Too much time on your hands.
And it's like, why are you a narcissist? It was, it's also like, I guess, I don't know. It's a little, of course, it's a little like old school and traditional. But he was like, looking good is a woman's job.
Ooh. You know what?
I mean,
sure.
You know, I'm not mad.
We're proof of that. We are proof
and
of that.
And we do so. I think he was just thrown off by how conceited he was, actually.
Yeah.
And he seemed to be in when he was talking also. And then my father shows up. And he is wearing chappal, which is like those sandals. You know, the open-toed sandals?
Yeah.
And he's not even tucked in his shirt, I think. And I was like, Dad, make an effort when I heard this
story. Is true. This is true. The truth is somewhere in the middle between these two.
Right? Like, do something. Don't let go.
Yeah, one is like Ali G, the other one's like barely dressed in the telling.
And he's got all his certificates, I think.
Oh my God, love that. I actually do love that.
His credentials, yes.
Your credit score?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I love that. Okay, would you bring your Edinburgh Award to
Yeah, I would because if I were to be arranged marriage in India, that award would scare the men off. So I would bring it.
There you go.
Then I like that.
I would get it and they'd be like, no. Why does she do this for a living? And so I would bring it, but for different reasons.
Okay, fair. But as long as it's always on you, that's all I need to know.
But my dad showed up with all of this, and then he spoke to my grandfather. My grandfather was like, this is the guy. And my mom was like, no. And he's like, I'm sorry, I like him. And so then they got married.
How did your mom's mom feel about him?
My mom's mom, I think she was fine with it, because I think she knew their family, like the whole family. She was like, they're all right. But my mom had a difficult time, I think, adjusting once she got married, because she had to move to his house from her palatial home
in Dubai
to Mumbai.
That's a big move. That's not just a little move, though, is it?
The one room kitchen. And my grandmother, I love her.
Dad's mom?
R.I.P., yes. She's not with us anymore. But she would ration food because there was like so many people in the house. So she had like defined portions for people. And she would, it was like, there was enough. But there's no seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
And so my mom was like, no seconds? No sweets?
This is a movie.
This is a movie. And I think she just, and so, but one cute thing that she told me is that my dad would sometimes sneak her food.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really sweet. But so then anyway, she complained to her dad and he was like, come to Dubai. And he was like, ha baby, let's go. And so then my dad and my mom moved to Dubai and that's how it happened.
Okay.
Okay, so that was like a happy medium between being together, but being able to live like a little princess.
Have seconds.
As well, we all should.
Yes, I am a wife, but I'm also daddy's little girl.
Yeah.
I am both. Don't make me choose.
Yeah. And so now, because my mom and my dad are the way they are, my dad is very economically minded. So he's never like spoken to me like I'm a girl or like a child. He's always been like, you have to be, what do you say? You have to add to the economy. He looks at me like a wing of production. what are the gains we get from this?
Yes.
It's so great though. He's so neutral about it. Like he doesn't really compute like my gender. And this is a problem back home a lot. And he's really kind of like, so like how are we scaling up? And I'm like, it's like a business meeting.
What about year on year growth, huh?
Yes.
That's great.
So he's like, steady, get a job. Do you have FDs? Have you invested? And I'm like, I love this conversation. You're not asking me when I want to get married at all.
Yeah.
So is there like an evaluation that happens? So like, I guess Charlie and I, we're friends for many reasons. But one of them is I do think we have parents who see success in a very similar way.
Daughters of economists.
Yeah.
But daughters of economists.
Yeah.
Two daughters of economists. Okay. Yeah. So how do your parents see success? Like what is the...
I think it has to be a good job, but a good job in a very specific way, in a very capitalistic way.
Yeah. I think they would like...
For us to be bankers or
lawyers. Yeah, unsure. But I think there's almost... I mean, I don't want to generalize about the Cox, but for the Dinkins, it's like it would be... There is an amount of financial success I could reach that would justify doing this, but it would be much easier for me to go and be a lawyer and earn less, but appear more successful to them. Okay. And they would be more comfortable with that. I mean, less so now. I'm like 34 years old. They've given up. But like in the beginning.
So like traditional jobs. They sound like Indian parents, actually.
Yeah, doctors, lawyers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my parents...
Management consultants in our family, a traditional job.
But I also think it's like an Eastern European thing as well to be like, if you're going to go to university, like my only options were like math, econ, computer science. There was never like a world in which I'm doing poetry at uni. They were like, nah.
Which no one made me do, but at the same time, I was gently steered away from like drama and
interpretive
art and
dance.
Things and interpretive dance, and I like gently steered towards other. I think they knew they weren't going to get me to maths. You know, that was not going to happen.
Ugh, I hate maths.
I did one economics class at university, and I truly did not understand what was happening any of the time. But my dad was so happy.
We're
I did
too
it.
Beautiful. We're it's simply true. Too beautiful.
There's no one really good at math, though.
I am very good at math.
God dang it!
I'm good at math, and I'm so good at math that I decided to do this for a living. So,
because I don't need to prove anything.
No.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a brother and a sister.
Are they in traditionally Eastern European?
So, yeah. Good. Very good question. Thank you so much. I love to be interviewed on my own podcast. This is the dream. But my sister sort of did this thing where she got married at 27, yeah. And she had, which is for them, I feel like it was even too late. And then she immediately had a baby. And then a few years in, she was like, I'm miserable. I never wanted to marry this guy. I never wanted a kid. And then so she divorced him and then sent her daughter to boarding school. And I think after my parents saw that like they thought that if they got us to the point where they wanted us, we would enjoy it. But once they like pushed my sister like in the traditional path that they wanted for her, yeah. And she still wasn't happy, yeah. I think they're very scared to push me and my brother.
Wow. She
so
took
thanks,
one
Lana.
For the
really,
team.
Really appreciate it. Immediate divorce, immediate boarding school, and they're like, okay. I guess maybe, we tried that.
Yeah, once it hasn't quite worked out for one person in their happiness, which I think is nice, not just in other ways, but once you see that it wasn't like the happy path.
Yeah,
it's harder to be like.
Because also,
you
my parents are really big on like, look at his daughter; she's doing so well. So the second they couldn't do it with my sister, because they'll be like, "Well, look at your daughter; she's fucking miserable."
My parents love a comparison. Wow. Are your parents? Do they compare you to their friends' children?
No, not anymore. Actually, I'm so sorry. I do want to ask: do you have siblings?
I have a brother. I have a younger brother.
And so does he get spared because you've? Sort of
he's more traditional than me. Like he got married last year. He has a more traditional job than me. So I think they're happy. Tick, 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 tick.
One of them's done.
He's doing it. So
you kind of just need one to do it.
Yeah. One is the safety. The other one's the write-off. That's okay.
I'm really hoping my sister is the one who gets married and has kids.
Is she more traditional than you?
One person does it, it's fine.
So far she does. She's a data analyst, so she has a more traditional job.
Right.
But she does not have the sort of low standards that I have in relationships where I'm willing to put up with anything.
Yeah.
And she will dump a boy on date 3 if he sounds weird.
What a wild.
Slightly off. And
I thought we all had the confidence and the self-assuredness.
And somehow we're all wrong.
Yes.
Is she older or younger than you?
She's older. She's 2 years older.
And where does she live? Also Mumbai?
She stays in Mumbai, yes.
Okay, great.
And so now I'm just like, can you just lower your standards a little bit?
Yeah.
Marry a Get nice man. Just, I'm not saying, they can't be perfect.
Yeah.
And have a baby. And so then I'm off the hook.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Keep happening. Pushing because once one does it, you yes. are free.
And then I get to have a niece and a nephew and I don't have to perfect. Bear children. Yeah.
Obviously, Olga can chip in, but like, what is the state of stand-up comedy in India? Like, it's like...
Obviously, Olga can chip in.
Thanks, Mom!
Obviously, Olga is the expert here.
I've been there for a total of 4 days.
But from your perspective, a career that's on the rise... Rise, like, I don't know, I feel like in the UK, maybe there has been more of a peak of stand-up comedy being like a more viable career that maybe we're like in a... plateau from at the moment, like a lot of like panel shows on TV are gone. Mm-hmm. Whereas in like America, I feel like being a stand-up comedy, you're still like the comedian, you're still like the king of the comedians, kind of, right? Like, where's stand-up comedy in India?
So right now, I would say stand-up comedy is booming because we're just taking off.
Exactly.
So it's like 10 to 15 years of stand-up comedy, and so it's just taking off. It's gonna peak. It's gonna plateau. That's going to happen. But within these 10 to 15 years, also, I have seen comics who have sustained their careers. I have seen comics who have not sustained their careers, and it also kind of has to do individually with how you're willing to, like, how much work you're willing to put in. Do you become lazy?
Yeah.
Do you sort of move to something else, which is always great? That's not lazy at all. Or like, what is it about your, I don't know. And also there's like mental health also, which is very understandable. And so it's taking off right now. But it's becoming very, very crowded. So when I started in 2016, I would say I was one of the 100 girls in India who was doing comedy, but now there's like thousands. And
fine.
So
you invested at exactly the right time,
yeah,
we might say.
Oh, hello.
It was luck.
I think it was Talent and Beauty.
Oh my God.
That's what I think it was, actually.
That's what they want to see when they come to a comedy show.
And that's why we're doing
a sexy
podcast.
Girl. It's a video, too.
I hope someone's watching on video. I'm wearing so many fake feathers. I bloody hope someone's watching on video.
Were you interested in comedy when you were a child? Is that something you would like? Would you watch comedy stuff?
Yes. I saw a lot of comedy movies. And I always wanted to be I thought I wanted to be an actress because I saw comedy movies and those were the ones I liked. And I was like, oh, the lead of this movie, she's so funny. I want to be like her. And then I hadn't seen stand-up. And then I saw stand-up and I was like, no, actually, that's what I want to do. I want to make jokes. And so when I entered the scene, it was already 8 years old, stand-up comedy scene in India, 8 to 9 years old, I guess.
What do you count as the start
moment? How did it begin?
Where does the beginning of the 8 years?
I think the first open mic, actually, Veer Das, who's a comedian.
Yeah. And you are Emmy winner. Yeah.
Emmy-winning comedian. Yeah. Veer Das is the one who actually, I think, did one of the first open mics. Now, we can't be sure. Maybe that was another open mic. But the first recorded open mic in our history books.
Oh, I love that.
He is the one who started it. And then from him birthed many boys and girls. More boys, of course, who came to do like open mics. And then so he had a company called Veer Das. And then there was AIB, then there was EIC, SNG, and there were a lot of other like
lots
comedy collectives. Yeah, lots of that was the time of comedy collectives.
Was that what's the acronym for the one that oh my God, Sapan and Sahil are in?
That was EIC, East India Company.
There we go. See? They're
all... So this is just like groups of people running like nights.
Yes, and they were. The thing is, it's such a collaborative space because also there were fewer people, so it was very. I would say the vibe was much nicer, and they would all run mics. They would make sketches, put them on YouTube.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
And so it was. They would do like sketch shows, and then they do stand up shows, then they do like panel shows. It was fun. It was all live though. It's none of it was on TV and on YouTube, which is our most democratic and used platform. And then so from them came us, the writers who'd write their sketches, who then also started doing open mic.
Oh, fun.
And then there were other people, and then so there were a lot of people who started just joining in, and now everyone has a room, and they have an open mic night, and
cool.
It's great, and the comedy clubs and stuff. So.
Cool.
It's booming, yeah. It's
yeah, there's really lots of comedy booming. On the same day. If you go and like book my show, it'll be like one night and there'll be like 15.
Yeah, if I show you Mumbai tonight, you'd see like,
you'd see so like
15, 20 shows going
cool.
on.
Cool.
Yeah. It's alive and it's kicking.
When did you first do stand-up? Do you remember your first gig?
Yes, it was at this comedy club that's shut now because they went bankrupt.
Is it that comedy club?
No.
Okay.
That's another one. Sorry, we have so many. But this is the first one. It's I think it was Canvas Laugh Club. That's where I did my first show. And so one of Sapan's mates from the comedy group, mm-hmm. Sahil, his father is a... This is so long. He's a urologist. And he was just trying his hand at comedy that night.
Wait, the urologist or Sahil?
His dad.
Oh, his dad?
His dad.
That's so cool.
His dad. He was just doing it for fun.
Cool.
Because it was an open mic night.
That's really fun.
And so all of his friends had come out and they were all like doctors and they just wanted a fun night out. So they were drinking, they were having fun. And so that was my first open mic and I killed because they were like,
yeah!
Who's this girl? We love her.
The urology crowd loves her stuff.
I was like, I'm a star. And then I bombed for 6 months.
Yeah, of course. Always the way.
And then I was like, okay, but I tasted blood.
Yeah. At what point did you tell your parents? And at what point did you ever have to have a conversation being like, this is what I do full time now?
Yes, I did. But my sister was really helpful with that because my sister was like, you've ruined my life. You've made me study what you wanted me to study. Let her live.
Aww.
And so she was like, I will go with her to open mics. And she came with me to every open mic.
That's so sweet.
She was so incredibly supportive. And like, she would drive me to places. She'd show up to an open mic. And she'd be like, no, you're really good. I was really bad.
That's so
That's
sweet.
That's good sistering.
Yeah, it's good sistering.
Because it's completely selfless.
So what percentage is she going to take?
It's zero. My God, I should talk to her about this. I should probably
She's doing it from love. She was doing it for love. That's even better.
I never thought about it. Maybe I should snap at her a little less. My tears with my pulse. She was really nice. And she sort of helped me have the conversation with my parents. And they were like, all right, I guess you can do this. And my parents are pretty chill also in that way, is that they're pretty like not conservative and open-minded.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
...in liberal, so... Also, I've been kind of a drama queen since I was a child.
So it made sense.
They were like, this one...
This is not surprising.
She's going to do one of these things only. So yeah, it was fine.
Have they seen you do comedy?
My mum has, because I was on this show called Queens of Comedy on TLC. And so she would come to every episode and like watch the recording and stuff. But since then, she's not been allowed back into any live shows. And my dad has seen it on YouTube. He's not come to a live show, and I've told him that he doesn't need to, and he doesn't want to either.
Fine. That's
I like it. I like it when both sides kind of have a respect for the arrangement. That's really, really good.
Because my dad and I are very similar, so we're both like, no thanks.
My parents came to see my first ever gig, which was at a university, like in a theater, like in a black box theater. I think it was like a mixed bill with like some music on it. And I did so badly. I bombed so badly. And they were there and I could like see them and no one was... It was so bad.
Yeah.
That I literally never mentioned it. Like, I was like, don't even wipe this from your brain.
My parents have seen me bomb so many times and they don't speak English. So they were like, there's just silence. And I think that the thing that's most harrowing is that it was maybe like 8 years ago or whatever. But to them, because they haven't really seen gigs since, like that's how I am and that's what I do. And so for them, it's very difficult to wrap their head around.
Do they not know that you're on a British Airways flight?
Look.
Do they not know that you can watch her on the plane?
Thank you.
Isn't that exciting?
Did I? I did. I once put it on just to see if the person next to me would
and
notice.
And did they know?
Absolutely not. I am wearing the amount of makeup I'm wearing in that special. And I was just there with my fucking like inflatable pillow being like,
oh my God.
It is one exciting of the most vain things I've ever done in my life.
All I will say is Olga Koch did a show about her family. That was her first hour that she did, very much the story of her parents' lives. It was on at the London's glittering Soho Theatre, and Alfred
Charlie directed it.
Went Whoa. Back twice.
Yeah, he
to
saw
see
it twice, but it had a slideshow in it, so he didn't understand what I was saying. But it was full of photos of
just
him.
Just a slideshow, so pictures of him and people laughing.
Oh
if you couldn't test the mood, you were at the very least going to go and sit through that twice.
Yeah, he was delighted by photos of himself on screen.
That's I think
he was
so cute. Pleased.
In a way, I guess so.
I think they were proud of you. They seemed proud. I don't think they knew what it was about. I think if they knew the content, maybe they would rethink it a bit.
They wouldn't be nearly as proud.
They enjoyed the idea of it.
Okay, back to your family, please. Okay. I'm so sorry.
No, I love it. Let's get into your family.
I did a show about my family.
It's group
what about your family?
Oh, yes, I did a show about my family as well.
So can we hear a little bit about all the extended family?
Okay.
Who's the oldest person in your family you've ever encountered or heard about?
Oldest person in my family would have to be my great-grandmother.
You've met her?
I've met her.
What's she like?
So everyone in my family got married really young. So my great-grandmother got married when she was 12.
Oh my God. Wow.
When I said young, I meant a child. Yeah. It was a thing back in the day, child marriage. So then this is my grandfather's mother, my mom's dad's, the nana, yep. my nana ji. His mom, I've met her. I've met her husband, so my nana's father as well. My nana's father was actually the head of his village.
Oh,
his entire lifetime he was the head of the village. It's called Sarpanch. So there are five heads, and the main, so that's Panch, okay, that's five, and the main guy is the Sarpanch. So he's like the sir.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's like, so he was the head of this village.
When you're saying head of the village, is it like a sort of like a council position, a political position, a religious position?
Council position. So okay. Day-to-day issues are solved, and they call meetings. So if you and I are neighbors in a village, yeah, right, and like we quarrel, who's gonna settle it? Because I'm like, she's hanging her washing in my front yard, and you're like, that's my front yard.
Okay,
and then it's
valid.
Like, no, but that's my front yard. And then so
he
now,
comes down,
and he's like, well,
it's really his front yard because he's the head. He's the head of the village.
He threatens to cut the laundry in half.
Yeah.
He's like, no washing for any of you.
Yeah,
dirty laundry all around. But so they all get together, and then they like negotiate and they figure out. So that was his position. My great grandmother was also, she was amazing. She was lovely. She really used to spoil us all the time when we went to the village. So I've met them. Those are the oldest people in my family that I've met. But they've since passed.
But you've recently been to the village, right?
Yes, I recently went to the... You know my village... Oh, this is a fun one. My village has a tiger problem.
What?
Yes, because it's on the hills.
Oh, my God.
So there's like two hills. And that's where my family stays. That's where all the 5-6 villages are. And so in the summers, and sometimes generally also for fun, the tigers like to come down to drink water. Because they stay up, and then there's the water body down, right, at the river. So whenever we have to step out in my village, we're always like, are there any tigers about?
How do you check? And what are you holding, a weapon of any kind?
No. So we basically...
Just looking for...
Yes. There's actually protocol.
Oh my God.
So if you're going in a rickshaw...
Yeah.
And then it's like you're dead. If you run into a tiger from one village to another village, this is the hill you're going. And one side is cliff. So you fall down.
Yeah.
Or it's village. It's just a cliff, right? Like it's just a mountain, sorry. And so if you're in a rickshaw, you're dead. If you're in a car, then you need to pull up all your windows, turn the ignition off, turn the headlights off, and just wait. Let the lion sniff around, or the tiger sniff around.
So it doesn't like chase you and follow you to the next place?
No. Unless you antagonize it.
You're obviously not allowed to antagonize it.
Yeah, no, don't antagonize.
Okay.
And why would you?
Because I feel like the protocol anywhere in America would be like, shoot it!
No, we don't have guns, right? Like, we don't have access to guns like that.
That's lovely.
If we did, though, I'm sure we would.
Wait, so the rickshaw protocol is just
death?
Yes.
The protocol is die.
Okay, fine. Didn't need to be said, but sure.
Call your loved ones.
So you're in the car, you're like, wait, you wait for things to pass, and then you can drive on.
Yes. Rickshaw, you don't stop. Rickshaw is like,
you just run for your life.
If the tiger is in here, you just try to maneuver around the tiger and run away.
Oh, my God.
But, like, it doesn't.
But theoretically, there is a world in which, like, the tiger doesn't feel antagonized and just lets you go, right?
Yeah, a lot of times that's what happens.
Okay, so it's not like a guaranteed death.
Oh, no, that's why my village, like, otherwise everyone would be dead.
So have you encountered a tiger?
Nope, not yet. Every time I go, I wait, and I've been, like, there over, like, 15 times at least my whole life.
It's time.
I just didn't have never met a tiger. And everyone around my family's met a tiger on the way. And they've all been like, yeah, no, so we stopped the car.
Yeah, that you'd want to. If everyone was talking about the tiger problem, if you didn't meet one, you'd feel left out.
And so no one in my village can have chickens because the tigers always come and eat the chickens. So it's a thing.
So is it vegetarian out of necessity?
I guess, yeah.
Chicken free, no reason.
No, they can't have poultries, basically.
Okay.
So, like, if they want to have... They can't have their own chickens. They usually go and get chickens from the chicken shops. And
okay.
So that chicken comes and, like, so tracks from, like, somewhere chicken. Else.
Okay.
But no free-running chicken to be tiger bait.
And you have so much space. And you could totally have your own chickens.
Yeah,
and you could,
that's
like,
annoying.
Yeah, you could and murder them in your own backyard.
Are tigers, are they, like, a protected species?
They are, and the thing is, now sometimes the government is really inefficient all the time. So what they do is that if they find a tiger in another mountain and somebody reports that there's a tiger here, they bring that tiger and they leave it in our mountain.
Wait, what?
And
what?
If we report this tiger, they take this tiger and they leave it in their mountain.
Just an illusion of work?
Yeah.
Busy work,
How
busy
is
work.
That real? That's so funny.
And we're just like, you're just exchanging tigers But the net number of tigers remains the same.
They're like, ultimately, the tigers do own the village. There isn't really anything we can do.
We bought a tiger mobile and we're getting our money's worth, okay? We're driving this tiger somewhere. I don't care.
What's the, from your lifetime, what's the, like, big drama from the village? There been any big gossip, big drama?
There is so much. I'm so afraid of what I can and cannot say.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
But I'm just going to think, sorry, one second.
Did anybody get killed by a tiger?
No. Mostly it's been chickens and cats and dogs. But I'm trying to think of what is the big gossip that I can give you.
Do you want examples of gossip that exist?
Yes, please.
I love a story when a very young girl has a baby really young and then her mom pretends that it's hers. Love that.
That's your favorite genre?
I love that genre of story. It's like, I'm not your sister, I'm your mom. Yes. Love that.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Love an affair.
Love a secretly gay person. Love an openly gay person. love people bickering over
when people have loads and loads of space, arguing over a very small amount of space.
Yeah. That's my village's jam.
Okay, that's what I like.
And it's always like they have lots of space, but they're always arguing about like the exact line in which
good.
They can keep their things and can't
like the biggest feud possible over the smallest thing possible.
Yes. Like one person was actually arguing with their neighbor because they had that slanting roof, the slanting brick roof, and it slanted slightly over into their side.
And now the thing is,
they had a wide gap between that slant, just a gap, and where their house starts. But they're like, it's touching me. It's touching
me. It was in the airspace.
They were not okay with it.
Okay, so do they shave off part of the roof?
That dispute was not, the village council was not able to solve it.
Oh my God.
So it's gone to court. It's in court now.
That's insane.
And it's now officially a property dispute. So my villages, there's two or three of them, have so many property disputes. Because what happens is that there's one parent who buys all of this land or just like one plot of land. Right. Like, so my grandfather, for example, my dad's father would buy a plot of land and then he would leave it for six children.
Yeah.
And now six children will have six children of their own.
Immediate problems.
I actually have 24 cousins on my dad's side, like first cousins.
And you all have claim for this one piece of land.
Yes. And but
oh,
so
I
like,
cannot wait.
We don't even
Who
want
Who is willing to fight a tiger is the question.
Who is willing to fight a tiger?
That's how you solve it.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I should think about it.
Wait, so there's 24 cousins. Are you close with them? Do they live in the villages?
I'm close with them. They've all moved out from the villages. Nobody wants that piece of land. It's the parents actually. It's my dad's siblings actually who are not able to come to a conclusion. And whenever they bring it up, we're like, oh my God, not that plot again.
So you're not even fighting with strangers, you're fighting with family.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. Like,
so you're taking your family to court.
Yes, but so that's what happened over this piece of land in my family. But so there are other like pieces of land over which this is happening. So in my family, it's more like a internal, like we're all meeting for an occasion and then suddenly somebody brings it up and then the atmosphere in the room is really tense.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. And like, because there's seven of them. So like different combinations have different issues, right? So it's like, it's a landmine.
Oh my God. Yeah. So you can gang up on each other. You're like, when he leaves the room, we talk about that. And then when they leave the room, we talk about that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But so we do have a lot of those. We have a lot of plots. So now what happens is my village is basically there are houses in the village in which people live. And then there are just random plots of empty land. And they've been disputed for years and nobody's doing anything with them. So that's happening. A lot of court cases.
Charlie's living.
It just never becomes anything because no one wants to agree. Oh,
yeah.
My favorite. You all get nothing. Yeah.
A big fat nothing.
Yeah,
everyone being miserable is better than one person being happy.
I think that is the philosophy of my village people. This is the Konkani philosophy where they're like, I love them so much, but I would also describe it as, why are you happy?
Are you happy, but why are you?
A shared sorrow is what they all want. And so this is how people communicate in my village when we go visit. So my parents will bring a lot of gifts and we'll go visit. So now my village is basically, because everyone is moving to Mumbai. When I was very little and I'd visit, there were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Now people are moving to the cities, right? So, and they come back less often to visit. And so the village now, when I went in the beginning of this year, is a collection of people who are retiring. And mostly they are women because the boys are then early.
Okay.
And I call them boys. They're not
Don't
boys.
Investigate it, okay?
Yeah.
The men are mostly dead. And so it's kind of like a sorority village at this point.
Okay, that's a dream.
It's just gals.
That's a dream. You know, it's 90% of the time is a dream, 10% it is some of the most vicious, mean bickering and backstabbing, passive aggression.
But then everything is so tidy. It's like very landscaped.
You're just begrudgingly chopping another bush into the shape of a heart.
Ugh. What is the kind of, how often would a big group of your family get together? Like, what is the event that gets you all?
Marriages, babies being born, babies' birthdays, deaths.
The classics. All the big ones.
All the big hits.
Wait, can you tell us about the most impressive family wedding you've been to?
Okay, so I think the bar for impressive weddings in my family is a little low. It's usually about who had the biggest buffet, who had the most food items.
Yeah. Right?
Who didn't squeeze you into the smallest piece of land and give you enough tables to sit on.
Yeah.
Because what happens in Muslim weddings is usually we don't have music or alcohol or joy. And so it's basically people coming over to a reception. And of course, you're with family, so you're laughing and you're having fun. But it's like a big dinner, basically.
They're getting the business done.
Yeah. It's like you come, you hand over an envelope with like some money, some cash for the bride and the groom. You take a picture with them. And then you go eat. You meet your family members. And you leave.
But then is the competition ultimately who has the best food?
It's ultimately who has the best food. Who had the most seating? Now, here's the thing.
It really is.
Fuck the food.
You know what happens sometimes? So we'll have round tables.
Can you imagine? They had stools, no backs. Not on my watch. Not on my wedding.
Like, so if the three of us are sitting.
Bring your own cushion. Forget about it. I'm not coming.
The three of us were sitting at a wedding, eating. There would be three people standing behind us waiting for us to vacate our place.
Oh, there really is not enough seating. Okay.
There really isn't not enough seating.
Okay.
Is it because there's so many people at the wedding? It would just be like...
Is there... Wait, how many people are we talking? Are we talking hundreds? Are we talking thousands?
We're talking hundreds, and sometimes we're talking like in 500s and thousands. But like, it's just that they'll have like, okay, so if there's 500 people at the wedding, they'll have 250 seats to sit in.
Okay.
Oh, it's just okay, always so it's
musical
not
chairs.
Enough.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what the number is, you have half the number of seats.
Yep. So
bring your own chair.
Bring your own chair.
But when you're not eating and you're not waiting to eat,
yeah.
You're milling around.
You're mingling, yeah. Because they'll have an area in which you can just like sit and hang or just stand and talk and stuff. And then the stage. And then they'll have a food area. And so the food area is the one where everybody's like, I'm going to sit here and eat. And then somebody will be standing right behind us and you'll be eating. And then they'll be like, so when are you going to be done? And you're like, I'm actually going to go get second. And they're like, bitch. And so like, this is actually some of the gossip that rolls over from the wedding.
Yeah. And it's a strategy. Like, you team up and you're like, I'm going to go get us chairs. Yep. You go get the food.
It's exciting.
Because you hold the place.
Yeah.
Your groups. And so a lot of people like, a lot of the gossip that they do later on is that, did you see her? She went to get thirds. I was standing behind her and she would not get up. And so this is like, so I think the bar for like impressive like weddings in my house is food and seating.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would be incredible drama. The thing is, if it were up to me, I would deliberately have so few chairs.
Yeah, I've never thought about that, but have 10 fewer. I think a half is like too obvious that it's like, it's predictable.
You have to make it look like
you
a mistake.
You just do like 10 chairs too few. So it's like 10 people just can't figure out where they're supposed to sit and no one can solve it. But you're like, I'm sure there's something over there. I'm sure there's
but
something
But I'm the
over
bride.
There.
No one's going to come up to me asking for seating.
Yeah. Just create a little drama to cruise you through.
Chaos.
Love it.
What about your family weddings? What are they like?
An iconic thing that my sister and her ex-husband did at their wedding is they were so not fucked with taking pictures of people. They did cardboard cutouts of themselves. And then people
no stop it
people just queued up to take a picture of a cardboard cut.
No, that's
amazing.
Yeah, good. In the dress. Yeah, in their wedding dress and in their wedding suit, and they were just standing, and you would stand in between them. And
wait, what?
Yeah, because they just didn't want to interact with me.
It's iconic.
That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Imagine towards the end of the wedding, you're looking at their table, and at some point they've been replaced by the cardboard cutout. They haven't been at their own wedding for the past 4 hours.
Why bother? That's crazy.
It's two other people holding the cardboard cutout doing their first dance. Yeah.
What?
Do you feel like you've been given a piece of advice by anyone in your family that like has really stuck with you?
Yeah, no, they love advice giving. But what stuck with me, let me think. Is there something that's really stuck with me that someone has said? Let's go over some things that my family members have said.
Please.
My grandmother said, don't stand in the sun because you'll tan. That did not stick with me.
Is that a metaphor or it's just a very, very direct piece of advice?
No, it's very, she's like, you're going to tan.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah. But so it is, like, what does that advice mean? Yeah.
If you don't want to tan, you don't stand in the sun.
Get out of the sun. And I was like, but I'm not afraid of the sun. No, get out. And so that's one piece of advice.
Yeah.
And so you went to the UK.
Don't worry. We'll never see the sun again.
I hear you, Grandma. Loud and clear.
I think my parents are not so big on advice as they are on lecturing me post something I've done.
Okay.
Gloating.
Yeah.
They want to gloat.
Yeah. We knew this would happen.
I think one of the things that formed me completely is I used to, as a kid, ask my mom, what age do you wish you were? And she says, I only ever want to be the age that I am.
Aww.
And whenever she's at, for the first attempt, I'm like, ugh, she's lying. I bet she wants to be 18 again. But the older I get, the more I'm like, she had a point.
Yeah.
Just enjoy where you are.
That's really nice.
Because it's so much like woulda, coulda, shoulda if you keep on being like, university, were the best years of my life. She's like, I always ever want to be the age that I am.
Yeah, aww, that's so
it's
nice.
Such a good line.
I told you the craziest thing my dad ever said to me. When I was a literal child, my dad to me was like, you can marry more money in a moment than you can make in a lifetime. And it's stuck in here.
Oh my god.
What a strange thing to say.
But that also sounds like a saying. Like it's such an elegant, it rolls off the tongue.
It's
in
from
a way
somewhere. It's not wrong, but it's like, okay. I guess.
Oh my, you can marry
You can marry more money in a moment than you can make in a lifetime.
Wow.
Still unmarried.
Still waiting.
Right. Do you have anything you'd like to promote? I would say this is probably going to go out in 2 or 3 weeks' time.
Oh, 2 or 3 weeks. No.
Yeah, so it's just unhelpfully after your tour.
No, then just follow
me. Are you gonna have gigs in India?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we have a huge listenership.
But
I wish.
Can I promote my Fringe next year?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will be back at the Fringe in 2024, and I will be doing a work in progress, and I will be doing a rerun of my old show also. This is all tentative.
Very exciting.
This is so exciting.
But so then, like, please come for it.
You absolutely have to see Oh No. It's an incredible, incredible show.
And the new one will not be incredible, but give me your money.
Yeah. Give her your money. Go to the Fringe. We can. That sounds good to
me. Cast this in a Bollywood film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Only we can make it happen, really.
Oh, my God. Don't just say that. Don't say it if you don't mean it.
No, I think we can
make
it
happen. Okay, we'll talk after the
pod. Okay, cool.
Bye. Family Jewels has been a comedy kerfuffle production produced by none other than Andrew White.
If you have any interesting family stories or you just want to send us a compliment, you can do that on Instagram. A nice thing you could also do is go and review this podcast if you like it on Apple Podcasts. I think like 3 people have done that. You're my favorite 3 people.
You can also leave a deranged comment on YouTube.
Yeah, if you want. All right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.